I'm going to be talking to you about five standards for successful communication. And there's only one rule to this whole sermon. That is, you cannot nudge your neighbor, all right? You cannot nudge your neighbor. That means your husband or your wife, you can't. Yeah, there's no sucker punches during my messages, all right? No sucker punches. Wait till you get out in the parking lot, all right? Can everybody, is that agreeable? All right. Well, all right, so here we go. You ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the worship that has gone forth. Thank you so much for the giving, for all the ministry that's taken that is going on in this church. Thank you so much for the souls that have been saved. God, we at least 10 folks have given their life to Christ since the beginning of the year. Thank you for what you're doing here at New Freedom Church. God, use these words, use this message to not only inspire all the married folks in this room, but each and every one of us, God, as we use communication successfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through five standards for successful communication. So number one, the first standard for successful communication is simply this. It's caring. All right? If you're going to successfully communicate to your spouse or to your neighbor or to your family or to your friends, you've got to care about what they're saying, about what they're going through. How many of you guys ever talked to somebody that just really did not care what you were saying? Yep. So the most powerful aspect in communication is the issue of caring. All right? If you don't care, it shows in everything you do. It shows in your schoolwork, kids. It shows up in how you treat your friends on the playground. It shows up in how you communicate to your husband, to your wife. It shows up in everything you do. If you don't care about what you're doing or about what somebody else is saying, then you're not going to communicate well. So the first thing is we've got to learn how to care, all right? So if I'm going to communicate with Dana, my wife, then it needs to be seen in my countenance, right? It needs to be seen in my body language and my eye contact and the tone of my voice. All needs to say that I care about what she is saying, all right? I remember when Dana and I first started dating, we would talk on the phone for hours. How many of you guys remember doing that, right? Of course, you couldn't sneak off into some back bedroom because you had a cord connected to your phone. Now, I know teenagers, you know nothing about that. But back then, there were cords connected to the phones. I know, really archaic, right? Crazy, Stone Age junk. I know, I understand. But back then, Dana and I were dating, and so we'd stay one particular night. I wanted to tell her I loved her so badly, right? I wanted to tell her I loved her, and so we were talking on the phone, and it was about 1:30 in the morning. Finally, at the end, I said, man, I got to go, but listen, there's something I really want to tell you. I love you. What? I love you. And as I was really shaking, really nervous, and I spit it out, and finally I just said, man, Dana, I love you. I love you. I don't want to be with anybody else. I love you. And that's like a big leap, right? Because there could be dead silence on the other end of the phone at 1:30 in the morning, and I need to make up some kind of excuse as to why I said that if she didn't say it back, right? And so immediately she goes, oh, I love you too, Jimmy. I've been wanting to say it ever since I saw you the first day. I'm kidding. That's not true. That's not true. In my dreams, that's the way it went. That's the way it went. But there was a little bit of a pause, and she said, you know what? I really love you too. And man, I got off that phone, and I felt like I was 10 feet tall, right? Everything was easy about communication. It was exciting. Everything she said was interesting. Everything I said was clever, funny, and sophisticated, right? I just learned how to say that word yesterday as I was practicing for this sermon. But everything was easy. And so I got off the phone. I was like, yes. She said, I love you. And I felt 10 feet tall, and I was going to my bed, and it was quiet, and all of a sudden my roommate broke the silence and the attitude and said, good for you, dude, now go to bed. Don't ever keep me up at 1:30 in the morning again, all right? glad for you, but whatever. And so, but communication is easy. It was good. But when we first started communicating, everything was so easy, right? You wanted to talk. You wanted to converse. You wanted to make that connection. And then skip forward 5 years after you're married, and it goes from everything interesting, everything's funny, everything's clever, everything is new and exciting to, I just need to talk to you for one. And it's like, you can't nail each other down to communicate, right? It's difficult. And the reason being is because all of a sudden life sets in, you get married, you have bills, you've got places you've got to go, you've got kids, you've got this and that and all the other things that are vying for your time. Sometimes schedules are very difficult for married folks. And we lose that sense of communication, and we lose that sense of truly caring about what the other person is saying. We say things like, as husbands, we say, the wife goes, are you listening to me while I'm watching Tennessee football, right? That's like impossible. Everybody scatters when I watch Tennessee football anyway, so I'm off the hook, right, Dana? And then she's like, are you listening to me? And I'm glued to the television. It's fourth down, right? 2 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. Tennessee's got the ball on the 5-yard line, and they're about to win. And Dana wants to talk to me about her feelings. I can't do it at the moment, right? You got to pick and choose when the right time is to talk. Find the right time to choose when you need to bring up conversations in your life. And you can't do two things at one time. At the same time, you've got to have each other's attention so that your body language and your eye contact and the tone of your voice says to your spouse, says to your friend, says to your neighbor, says to your family member, I care about what you're saying. I care about what you're saying. It's impossible to communicate to someone who does not care. Ever been in a restaurant? And the waitress or the waiter is having a bad, bad day. You go in, we're looking forward to a really nice night. We don't get out a lot, and we get this waiter or waitress that has had a bad shift, and all of a sudden, the waitress comes over, and she doesn't look at you. She doesn't greet you. She just slaps the water down and says, I'll be back in a minute, right? And then the whole night, you're like, excuse me, from across the restaurant, all right? And you're like, excuse me, and what happens is you get into weird situations because the other people that are sitting across the restaurant are looking at you when you're doing this, and they're like, and you get into weird situations, and you're like, I know that waiter or waitress saw me. I know she saw me, right? And that's how it is with a spouse that doesn't care. It's the same thing. You're trying to get their attention. You know that they know that you want to talk, and they avoid the situation. They avoid the conversation because they don't care. They don't want to have that kind of conversation. So here's what it means to care. It means, it means someone is talking and you are looking at them. That's communication 101. It means someone is talking to you and you are looking at them. You pause the TV. You put the tools down. You come out of the shop. You stop doing the dishes. You stop doing the laundry. You stop doing what you're doing and say, yes, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. My body language is telling you I'm with you. My eyes are with you. The tone of my voice is saying I care. And we're communicating. We're connecting. And we're growing together. That's what it means to care. Remember, your body language, your eye contact, the tone of your voice all needs to say, I care about what you are saying. Number one is caring. Number two, the second standard for successful communication is praise. Guys, we got to work on this one. We'll say, praise them for cleaning the house. Why do we have to tell Dana? When we first got married, you know, do you want confetti to fall down from the ceiling? You want balloons to fall down from the ceiling? That's a jerk thing to say, all right? Jerk thing to say. Guys, we need to work on our praise. It's not that they need us to go around and go, well, way to go, good job, way to do those dishes. Man, you vacuum straight lines. I've never seen lines like that in the carpet before, ever. That's beautiful. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about true gratitude. Thanking your spouse for doing something for you. Thanking them for doing something that they do every day. Try it, it'll blow them out of the water. Try it, it will absolutely blow them out of the water. Negativity is the devil's language. And it will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your relationships. Somebody that is always negative, that can take a good thing and spin it around to something negative so that they can complain about it. Negativity is the devil's language, and it will destroy not only your marriage, but all of your relationships. God is a God of praise. Amen? Psalms 100, verse 4 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." We just did that, right? Dana and the worship team led us into a time of worship and a time of praise so where we could enter in with clapping our hands, with raising our hands, with lifting our hearts and our voice toward heaven, giving God our best. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Courts means intimate presence. Now think about it like this. You will never let anyone into your heart unless they are positive about you. Right? You may let some negative people around you, right? Sometimes you can't avoid it. It's at work. It's at school. It's everywhere you go, okay? You can't get around negative people. Sometimes they just have to be in your life, right? But you never fall in love with somebody. You never give them your true heart. You never give them your intimate presence when someone is constantly negative in your life. Criticism kills intimacy, right? Criticism kills intimacy. When a marriage becomes negative, we close our hearts to each other. That's why the devil loves to come in and accuse us to each other and make our language negative. Scripture says that we have an accuser of the brethren, right? In other words, there's an accuser not only of the brethren, but an accuser in our marriages as well. And the enemy will come in with any kind of negativity that we don't stomp out. And he'll open that door and go in and take full advantage. And he'll turn intimacy into tragedy in a split second if we'll allow him to come in and steal, kill, and destroy what God has established in our life. That's why we have to be vigilant. That's why we have to cut off those things in our life that creates those negative tensions in our marriage. We have to address them. We have to say with our body language, say with true care, hey, listen, there is a negative influence and flow in our relationship, and that needs to be cut off. So I'm not going to sit down and blame you. I'm not going to sit down and accuse you. I'm here to tell you and recognize that the enemy is wreaking havoc in our relationship. And we need to pray together. Last week I talked about praying together. And so that's what we need to do. We need to communicate. We need to tell each other what's going on. Amen? Now, criticism is a negative tone that sets up in your relationship as a filter that everything else is seen through. Right? You can never make somebody happy. They're always negative. The glass is not even half full. It's like a quarter full. There's nothing good that you can do because they're looking through everything through the lens of criticism instead of praise. Our Heavenly Father didn't do that to us. If he did, none of us would be here. We would all be judged. We would all be damned. But thank God for his grace and mercy, right? Thank God for His mercy in our life. So we need to understand that instead of criticizing each other, we need to praise one another. We need to learn how to discipline ourselves to say, honey, thank you so much for bringing my food to me while I was sitting down. I didn't ask you to do that. You did it on your own. Thank you. Thank you so much for mowing the grass when I didn't feel like it. Thank you so much for all that you do around the house. Thank you for taking the kids for an hour so that I could nap. I've had a terrible day. Thank you. We just think as married folks, that's just implied. Look, you should do that, right? I shouldn't ask you to do it. You just need to do it. No, there needs to be communication there. Honey, I've had a bad day. I really need some time off. Would you take the kids? Would you allow me a little nap time, right? So the reason you fall in love is because you complimented each other, right? Now think about it. You never fall in love with someone who says something like this on your first date. Oh, man, I really hate your hair, right? You don't fall in love with somebody like that, right? You don't fall in love with somebody that goes, wow, like, you need to lose some weight, right? You need to lose some weight. That shirt does not look good on you. I don't even know what you were thinking when you came out the door, but it does not look good on you. You don't fall in love with folks like that, right? How many of you guys have had first dates like that, right? It's some bad stuff. Yep, I married him. He's sitting right here, right? But we don't fall in love with somebody like that, okay? And you truly don't go out on a second date, that's for sure, right? So as high as you want your marriage or relationship to go, your mouth has to go there first, right? As high as you want your marriage to go, your mouth has to go there first. So let your mouth be a mouth of praise. It's easy to criticize. It takes no effort whatsoever. We can find something wrong in a split second. But it is a discipline to learn how to praise one another, how to admonish one another, and to lift one another up even when you don't want to do it. And sometimes it's hard to find something to praise about, but do it anyway. Amen? Number three, the third standard for successful communication is truth. All right? We have to tell the truth. Now, I'm not talking about a brutal mouth. I'm not talking about an unadulterated truth that's going to beat you down in the dust, that's going to leave you feeling helpless, that's going to leave you feeling defeated. That's not the truth I'm talking about here today. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. This is the truth I'm talking about. Bind mercy and truth around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all aspects into Him. So these things are coupled together with truth. Mercy and love. Mercy and love. If you don't tell the truth, it's going to come out in other behaviors, right? If something is going on in your life, you need to be truthful about it, because if you don't, it will come out in passive aggressive behaviors, right? If something's going on in your life, you've had not only a bad week, but you've had a string of 6 months worth of bad, but yet you don't talk about it, it's going to come out in bad and weird ways, right? Your wife forgets to pick up something in the bedroom, and all of a sudden, you're burning the whole house down, right? Somebody didn't put the lid on the toothpaste right, and all of a sudden, you're tearing the sheetrock off the bathroom walls because you haven't talked about what's going on in your life. We have to communicate. We've got to tell the truth. If we don't, it's going to come out in weird ways. We'll find ourselves blowing up over things that really doesn't matter. And I'm not talking about, again, a brutal mouth. I'm talking about truth that is bound and coupled and married with mercy. Because when you speak the truth to your spouse, when you speak the truth to your friends, to your neighbor, to your family, it needs to be coupled with mercy and love. Scripture says you can trust the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? That means when a true friend speaks truth to you, he's doing it in love. And even if it's done in love and mercy, it's still going to sting, right? Because you know that what they're speaking to you is truth. And it's hurting. Because you know you need to change it. You know you need to speak. You know that you need to talk about that string of 6 months worth of bad. You need to communicate that. You need to speak about it in order that the truth may come forward and your spouse or your friend can have an opportunity to couple with you and pray together, to agree together. Right? There's power in agreement. Well, there's two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, right? I think he was talking about married folks too. Not just church services, but intimate marriage situations where we're talking and unveiling what's going on and we're intimate with one another. And you are not going to be intimate in communication-wise if there's constant criticism in your life. That's an intimacy killer. Allow your spouse, allow your partner, allow your friend to be open and honest and be quiet so that they can speak. That's hard to do, right? Because we all have an opinion. We all have an opinion. So the third standard for successful communication is truth. Truth that is bound with mercy. Truth that is spoken in love. Number four, the fourth standard for successful communication is faith. It's faith. And ladies, you can say anything you need to say to your husbands, but once you've said it, then you have to let God be the enforcer. Allow God to be the enforcer. Without faith, you're going to nag him, you're going to browbeat him until he submits to your will. That's called manipulation. You're going to browbeat him. You're going to nag him until you get your way because you have become the enforcer and not the Holy Spirit. I know that's hard to do, but it's what we need to do. When was the last time you have renewed someone's heart? When was the last time you have created a right spirit within somebody? You know what the answer to that question is? Never. Because we are incapable of doing that. We can't change hearts. We can't renew a right spirit within somebody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so, ladies, or husbands as well, when you've said your piece, when you've done it in love, when you are communicating healthy to your spouse or to your friend or whatever the situation may be, it needs to be done in truth. It needs to be in love. And then we need to step back and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Amen? I know we can get a whole lot of amens on that, but that is the truth. Now, 1 Peter 3:4 says this. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. A gentle and quiet spirit is not the mark, ladies, listen to me. A gentle and quiet spirit is not the mark of a mousy, beat-down woman. That's not what 1 Peter 3:4 is talking about. A gentle and quiet spirit is a mark of a woman of faith who can speak what she needs to speak and allow God to enforce it in her husband's heart. And all the ladies said, it's so hard to live your life trying to fix people with your mouth all the time. You have to speak the truth and leave it with God. When you do, peace follows because it's no longer you doing the fixing. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit penetrates beyond our will, beyond our attitude, into our heart, which changes us forever. That's where we need to leave it. And so when we do this, we need to communicate in a way that promotes faith. that when we say what we need to say, we say it in love, we say it in mercy, and we back away and we commit it to God in prayer. That's what we need to do. Well, I don't see them changing. I don't see what I've been praying for a month. Pray for another month, because God is at work in the unseen realm. That's why this walk is by faith and not by sight. Amen? The last one, and this last one, I want you to stand up with me. The last standard for successful communication is surrender. Surrender. I'm going to read this paragraph verbatim, and then I want us to say it together, because it really is powerful. The last standard, the fifth standard for successful communication is surrender. It says this: this mouth belongs to God. I want God to use my mouth to build my marriage, to build my children, and live a life that will glorify Him. This is not my mouth, and I am going to give an account to God one day. And I'm not going to in any way justify meanness or evil or anything else with this mouth, though everyone else may do it. This mouth belongs to God. It's about a surrendered life. Right? It's about surrendering our will, surrendering our emotions, surrendering our affection, surrendering our marriage and our relationships and our problems and our issues, so that God can do His work. Some of you need to take your hands off of your spouse. Take your hands off of your children. Stop manipulating the situation and allow God to restore and renew your relationships. Amen? This is the hope we have as believers. So we're going to say this together, and then we're going to pray together. Say this with me. This mouth belongs to God. I want God to use my mouth to build my marriage, to build my children, and to live a life that will glorify Him. This is not my mouth, and I am going to give an account to God one day. And I'm not going to in any way justify meanness or evil or anything else with this mouth. Though everybody else may, this mouth belongs to God. Let's pray together. Today, as everybody's head bowed, this is, communication is really how God communicated His love toward us. He had a laundry list of offenses from all of humanity. But what He chose to do was show those people that He had offense with grace and mercy. And that grace and mercy came by His Son, Jesus, who died on a cross so that we could be forgiven our sins. God taught us the value of forgiving through His Son's death. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, today you can know Him through and through. Today you can be forgiven. Today you can know what it's like to be truly a child of God. If you say, Pastor, I don't know Christ, or maybe you've walked away from Him a long time and this is your first day back in church in a while, you're saying, Pastor, I want to receive Christ. I want to be forgiven. I want the communication between me and God restored and renewed. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? So don't miss your chance. Yes. Anybody else? Don't miss your opportunity to receive Christ, to know Him through and through, to truly be forgiven, so that communication first can be restored between Him and you. Amen. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, I want you to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to restore that line of communication so that He can make you new. Amen. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I lift up to you those people that have raised their hands today to receive you. I pray, Father, that they repent, first repent of their sins, confess their need in you, so that a right spirit can be restored in their heart, so that you can restore their heart and make it new again. So, Lord, would you forgive them of their sins? Just pray that, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me new in Jesus' name. Today, if you're here as a couple, you're struggling in your relationship, in your marriage, you're going through a rough spot, and that spot feels like it's been a long time, or maybe you've just recognized a negative vein in your relationship, and you need to get that dealt with this morning. Do it this morning. I'm going to pray over you as a couple, pray over you as a family, and if you need to go home, if you need to re-listen to this message, go on the website and find it, listen to it together, and restore communication in your marriage, in your relationships again. Let God restore you. Let God renew you as you put your faith in Him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus over broken relationships this morning. I pray, Father, that you would renew, you would restore, and you would transform today in Jesus' name. God, I pray that husbands and wives begin to create those communication opportunities, moments in their lives again today, starting today. From this day forward, we choose to communicate. We choose to communicate with care. We choose to communicate, Lord, with praise. We choose to communicate with the truth, bound with love, bound with grace and mercy. We choose to communicate in faith with one another, and we choose to communicate in surrender. Surrender my will, surrender my insatiable need to be heard. We surrender. And I pray, Father, that if there's broken relationships between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that if we as parents need to humble ourselves and admit our guilt, then let it be done today. Lord, restore communication. Restore it, Lord, so that we can again feel the joy of being married. Feel the joy of having an intimate relationship with our spouse, with our children, with our family, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We trust you with our marriage. We trust you with our brokenness. We trust you with the hurt. We trust you with our family. And Lord, we choose today, starting today, from this day forward, to communicate successfully in order that we can be healthy. And not just so that we can be healthy, but so that we can point other hurting couples to you through what you have done through us. So Lord, use us. Use all that we are so that you can be glorified. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.